This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Later in the program, we'll talk to the country's top education official, Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, about how he plans to lead the drive to rewrite the top education reform initiative over the last decade, No Child Left Behind. That law is up for renewal this year. But we have to acknowledge that much of the nation is still in shock after Saturday's shooting in Tucson that left 6 people dead and 14 others wounded, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. She is still fighting for her life. And like many people, we wanted to talk about how this incident may reflect on the nation's political discourse. In a few minutes, we hope to hear from Representative Giffords' colleague, Congressman Raul Grijalva. But first, we have called upon Kathleen Hall Jamison. She is director of the Annenberg School of Public Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. She's a professor of communications, and she's thought deeply and written widely about contemporary political rhetoric. And she's with us now from Philadelphia. Professor Jamison, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Before we get started, I wanted to play a clip of Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who talks about what he believes is a level of vitriol in our public discourse right now. Here it is.
I think it's the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, and what we see on TV and how our youngsters are being raised, that this has not become the nice United States of America that most of us grew up in. And I think it's time that we do the soul searching.
You know, obviously this is a very emotional moment, but he's making a specific point that he feels that there really has been a coarsening of our discourse. Do you think that that's true?
He remembers the time in which we didn't have the amplification system we now have in place through the internet, 24-hour cable, 24-hour access to talk radio. And as a result, his exposure and ours in that earlier era was to fewer comments by fewer people whom we knew well. We were less exposed to what incivility was available in the culture before. So his statement is true. The amplification process has made what incivility is there far more accessible.
You know, Matt Bai, writing in the New York Times over the weekend, said that the problem doesn't lie with activists, but that it's really political leaders who are pandering to what he called the margins of the margins. Just as an example of that, something that got, of course, a lot of attention was Congressman Joe Wilson talking out loud to President Obama during his joint session of Congress on health care. I just would like to play a short clip of that, if just to refresh people's memories about what I'm talking about.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
That was September 9th of 2009. And of course, you could hear Joe Wilson saying, "You lie." Do you think it is true that people in the public eye do not behave in a way that they used to in the past, or that they've contributed to this?
We have a vision of the halcyon days beyond recall, in which the discourse was substantive and engaged and argumentative and civil. That time actually never existed. What we see across time, looking at the rhetoric on the floor of the House, is that you periodically have instances that are problematic. In the 1990s, for example, then Congressman Bob Dornan of California went to the floor and in a one-minute speech accused the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, of giving aid and comfort to the enemy. That's accusing a sitting president of treason. In terms of comparability, you might argue that accusing a president of treason is more problematic than suggesting that a specific statement is a lie.
Now, there are two, in both the instances we've talked about here, the parties at issue here are Republicans, people of the right, attacking or criticizing a person of the left. Did you feel that this overheated rhetoric is evenly distributed across the aisle? Because a lot of the criticism is being pointed toward the right and people who are associated with political movements of the right.
If you take the last 10 to 15 years as your point of reference in order to look at both the Republican president and a Democratic president, what you see is references in public discourse to the president or his policies that suggest that they're Hitler-esque occurred both against George W. Bush from the left and against Barack Obama from the right. In the first case, about the Iraq War, in the second, about the health care reform initiative. When you have a very controversial issue in which there's high level of emotion on each side, it's likely that those out of power are going to engage in the problematic discourse. It's also true in Congress that when there's a changeover in power, there tends to be a momentary spike in incivility, and that then levels off, because in an uncivil environment, you get a whole lot less done.
Arizona has been the location of a number of very intense public policy debates in recent years, particularly around the question of immigration. I did want to ask whether there are certain subjects that seem to bring forward this particularly intense feeling or intense political rhetoric.
Yes, particularly in times of high economic anxiety. And you have a debate that defines someone as an enemy, some policy as taking away from what fragile economic, you know, well-being one has. You are more likely to create a context for a histrionic rhetoric.
And finally, I wanted to end where you began. You talked about the sort of the megaphone effect of the way we communicate these days. And so if there is some sort of broader cultural agreement that things have just gone too far with the way we talk to each other, can you really put the genie back in the bottle? Is there any evidence of that, that that's ever happened?
There is something of a rebounding effect after you get moments that are highly problematic. The larger question, however, is, are they going to dampen down in an Internet environment with its high levels of interactivity and with the capacity of anyone to post anything? And the answer to that is, I don't know. We need to wait and see.
Kathleen Hall Jamison is the Elizabeth Ware Packard Professor of Communication at the Annenberg School for Communication and the Walter and Lenore Annenberg Director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And she was kind enough to join us from Philadelphia. Professor Jamison, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Good to be with you.